It's often the little things, small behaviors, that can change our lives. That's the power of a financial edge. I'm Ed Meek. I'm a financial advisor with a passion to help you retire early, save more, and live better. Welcome to Ed's Edge, the podcast to help you live the life you've always wanted.
The Bear Market Playbook. Not teddy bears, more like grizzly bears. Today, we're seeing in the news recession, bear market. We're experiencing it. We're feeling it. If we're even looking at our accounts, it's dramatic and it's affecting us. We're going to help you today with some of the things we use in our handbook, playbook, in helping in a bear market. But first, let's focus on grizzly bears a little bit. 800 pounds, 7 feet tall, paws are 20 inches across, 10 razor blade sharp claws, mouth full of teeth that pierce flesh and could even tear apart a car from what I see. A grizzly bear compared to a gorilla, some people are like, what's going on? When you know, we think about like who would win in fights. When I was looking into this, I didn't even know. Like, it wasn't something I thought of. I was just looking up pictures of grizzly bears that we showed you a little bit ago. But when I was looking into this, this debate came up, like, who would win? A gorilla is half the size. Like, they said it's not even close. And so I guess that's why they don't call it a gorilla market.
I guess you're right.
So let's talk about the bear market. We're all definitely worried and thinking, you know, right now this is a grizzly bear market. I don't even know if it is. I think we're probably in a black bear market, but grizzly bear market was like in 08. We don't know if we're going to get there, but we do have some things we can do to help people. And so could you tell us a little bit about, you know, what is a bear market?
Absolutely. So we are recording this July 1st, which is the start of the second half. I think we're all taking a little breath of fresh air that the first half is over. But let's talk about what happened in the first half and more specifically the definitions of bear markets and recessions, to your point. So first half of the year, the S&P 500 dropped just under 21%, which made it to the definition of a bear market, which is from peak to trough, more than a 20% decline. That's a bear market. Recession, which is the top 100 Google search now, it made that list, the word recession. That is loosely defined as two negative GDP quarters by most people's standard. It's not an official definition. There's, you know, the National Bureau of Economic Research that says a significant decline in economic activity. But bear market relates to the stock market. Recession relates to the economy. And again, recession defined by two negative GDP quarters. So let's talk about, first off, real quick, what's GDP? Why don't you enlighten us on that?
Well, it's the gross domestic product. And it's a measure that tells us kind of the health of the economy. Is it growing? Is it not growing? Generally over time, it historically grows most of the time. But at times, when we have these outside factors that come in and affect it negatively, then it doesn't grow and it reflects very poorly and we see it affecting everything.
Yep. And when we see, you know, the word decline or the word recession, there's a sense of panic. I have to do something. I have to protect my money more. I have to, you know, inflation is at an all-time high. We all know that. I have to spend less. I have to cut back, right? All these emotions are coming in. And what we wanted to do today is explain to you what's the history of recessions and bear markets, and what can you do now that is not overreacting, but in fact taking advantage of the opportunity during these times. So let's start there.
Yeah, I mean, there's right now, you know, why is this happening right now? It's best to and we've talked about this before on the video that John and I did, you know, I don't know, it was a month or so ago, but there's really three main factors. One is the Russia-Ukraine crisis. Now we're all kind of getting used to it, unfortunately, but it's affecting the world negatively. It's affecting supply chain, which is also affected by what happened, you know, with the COVID crisis. The second thing is China struggling, and they're, we believe, making matters worse by how they're handling COVID, and they're shutting everything down and making things a lot worse. But the primary, really big one that's affecting it, and we're seeing it across the board, massive hikes in gas prices, is just inflation across the board, that everything costs a lot more money. And so this makes everything more expensive, businesses, everything they're doing more expensive, it makes everything cost more. And so therefore, we are seeing kind of one of these examples of a decline in the GDP.
Yeah, and so let's look back at historically when we've had a decline in the GDP along with an official bear market. Let's look at some perspective around history. When this happens, how much do we drop in stock prices? And how long does it take back for us to recover back to where we were before all the mess happened?
Well, you have a great chart, right?
Yeah. So if you look at this chart here, there's two types of bear markets. There's recessionary bear markets and non-recessionary bear markets. So our mind goes to, we're going to have a recession, let's sell our investments and wait till it's over and then get back in. It's a common emotional thought. But let's look at history. So again, I talked earlier that the S&P 500 is down 21%, roughly, first half of the year. This chart at the top shows if we have a recession, what is the average bottom in the market? Right? Sometimes it's a little bit worse. Sometimes it's a little bit better. The average bottom is 33%. Okay, that's if we have a recession, which there's a lot of discussion about it, but it's not a guarantee that we're having a recession. So, you know, we're 12% away from that. More importantly, look on the right there where it says months to return to the high from the bottom. We're 23 months from the bottom to getting back to where we were. So the average thought is, oh my gosh, this is going to take years and years and years to recover. The average recovery is a little bit less than two.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to kind of realize, and sometimes we forget, people who have experienced this in the past, is it's so dramatic. It affects us so negatively when things are going down that we sometimes forget that the bounce is pretty quick. There are a few examples, both when we do have an official recession and when we don't, where it can drag on for a number of years. But a lot of times we're talking single digit months up to a year, year and a half, when the market actually recovers back to that point that that it was at before. And so this is good news in the sense that it's never quite as bad as we usually think it is.
Yeah. And if you look back to the chart with non-recessionary bear markets, it looks even more attractive. Mm-hmm. We're basically there at the bottom, according to the averages, right? Now, again, some can be better, some can be worse, but there's the average, right? 23%, 24%. And the recovery is quick on average, 10 months, less than a year.
Yeah, this chart is busy. We realize it. We have it available to you. You can click on it, and especially if you go to our podcast on the website, but it'll be available. And so it's, you know, you've seen it as we've gone through it here, but it's a little busy, so we apologize for that. But it's super important, and I think it kind of emphasizes what we're talking about. So this is why it's so important to have the right mix of investments, especially in a bear market. If you're overweight in stocks and you're like near retirement, if you're overweight in stocks and you're in retirement, it kind of really screws everything up. And we have talked about this over time, that is like the most essential thing, the most important thing. If you're not, then you can regroup, we can get things set up again. But if you are, then you can let this play itself out. I have a story. I said it a long time ago in one of the early podcasts, but I think it's really important to go over it again. So I'm dating myself, but back when the tech bubble popped, this was in the year 2000, just before then, the tech stocks were going up like crazy. People were making a lot of money. And I had these two people who came in who wanted to retire. And they were establishing, they got lump sums of money from retirement plans and selling their business. And what happened was they invested their money. One gentleman wanted to invest it and make sure, I want to make sure I have enough money in safe investments that no matter what happens with the stock market, I'm going to be okay. And then the rest we put in stocks. The other gentleman were coming off these incredible returns, wanted to focus mostly on stocks, and said he was very confident in the markets and invested a majority of his money in the stock market. And then the tech bubble popped. And back then, what happened was the stock market dropped 50% over a period of 3 years. It was one of those longer bear markets. And that gentleman who had more in stocks literally had to go back to work and work some because he didn't have enough money in safe investments. The other gentleman was fine, retired, stayed retired. And so all of this is super important to keep in mind when it comes to this playbook, that this works. This playbook works, but you do have to have things kind of set up right ahead of time.
You know, my takeaway from that example is one decision made the difference between having to work 2, 3, 4 more years or not. Mm-hmm. One decision. That's why we think it's so important.
Yeah, right, definitely. So the first step in the playbook that we think is crucial is rebalancing. And we have a chart we're going to throw up here that you can see, and it has these two pie charts kind of next to each other. The first one is, not everybody, we're not making a recommendation here, but not everybody, but a lot of times people will have closer to half your money in stocks, half your money in bonds when you are retired, because you need some aggressive and some conservative. And so going into when COVID hit in 2000, if somebody kind of had that, not kind of, but if somebody had that when that occurred, and they had it invested and then they left it alone, they didn't do anything with it, they didn't rebalance it, they left it alone, they didn't do anything with it, it would have then grown to that pie chart you saw on the right side, which became a lot more in stocks. And that happened at the end of last year, right before this bear market hit.
So if you wanted to have, I think we were thinking along the same lines there. If you wanted to have 50% of your money exposed to the stock market and you didn't rebalance in the last year and a half prior to this bear market, you would have 65% of your money in the stock market because stocks went up during that year and a half period of time, not as much more than bonds. Bonds didn't go up as much. And so you wanted to have half, now you have 2/3 and the market drops.
So this rebalancing thing is something that you want to do progressively. Sometimes people will do it monthly or sometimes they'll do it over the quarter, but you don't want to wait a long period of time because things can kind of get out of whack. Bonds and stocks perform very, very differently over a period of time. And so it's like steering a boat or the Titanic, we hear. One little movement can make a dramatic change. And so if you're not paying attention, like in this, you know, this is only what we're talking a year and a half later, a year and three quarters later. We encourage you to make these changes, rebalances more often than less often.
Agreed. And what is it in short for those that still haven't recalled is it's, you know, when things get out of whack, you put them back in line. So when you go from 50-50 to 60-40, you want to sell the 10% that's more overweighted, buy the 10% that's underweighted.
And we as a firm actually would like to even, we personally would do it a little more often than that. But, you know, if it starts getting 10% off, then it's probably a good idea to really take a move and make it a step in the right direction.
Yep.
So what's the second one, James?
Point number two is tax loss harvesting. Fancy term. I'll give the cliff notes. Is especially during these bear market times, in taxable accounts, if you bought a stock at the beginning of the year, you made the worst time decision in the world to date. You bought a stock and it's down 30%, or you bought a fund and it's down 20%. What you can do is you can sell that position for the sole purpose of realizing a loss. Let's say it's $5,000 loss, and then you can rebuy a similar position. So you're not changing your investment mix. You're simply selling what needed to be sold for loss purposes for tax reasons and rebuying something similar to reset the situation.
And you want to make sure that for tax purposes, it can't be an identical position. It has to be similar. And if you're investing in, which we encourage people to do, in broad-based investments, ETFs, mutual funds that where they own lots of stocks or whatever the case may be, it's easy to find something that's close.
Yeah, yeah. So we don't like paying more taxes than we can. Silver lining about this bear market is, you know, when you do tax loss harvesting, you'll have some losses that can either offset gains or get write-offs, and that's big.
Well, and it's big. I like to tell people the way that you understand it. If you don't do that, your investments just fluctuate and you lose these opportunities to take these losses. And I say it's like taking a loss. It's like putting it in your back pocket. And the reason why you want to put it in your back pocket, you can only use a certain amount of losses each year. But the reason why you want to do it is because there's going to be, knock on wood, stock market's going to go back up. They're going to make money again. Then they're going to create gains. People are going to have gains. And then what happens is if you have gains, you can take those losses out of your back pocket and offset the gains. Then you don't have to pay taxes on them. If you don't do this, you lose that opportunity.
Yeah,
it's huge. Over the long run, it can save you thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars over time.
Agreed. Agreed. So that's number two. So number one is rebalancing. Number two, tax loss harvesting. What's number three?
Number three is there are certain investment vehicles that exist that are more attractive in these kind of markets. And one of them, I'm not going to go into major detail on it. One of them we use are called structured notes. These are investments that actually get more and more attractive. They provide better terms. They provide more upside. They give you more protection on the downside when things are volatile and when interest rates are higher. And so we encourage you to look at some of these investments. The old adage is buy low and sell high. And these are investments that give us the ability to have this buy low and sell high, really take advantage of it, that gives you kind of an extra boost. Just as a plug for our next podcast, we're going to go into major detail and explain what these structured notes are like, examples of them. But that's something to consider is try to find investments that are more attractive in this environment.
Yeah, yeah. It's really a great opportunity. So stay tuned for the next podcast on structured notes. But in the meantime, so we've got, you know, take a look for the opportunities. What are some other opportunities?
Well, the next thing is actually can be kind of in conjunction with what I just said. That is, we've mentioned doing what are called Roth conversions in the past. These are converting IRA accounts that you were able to avoid taxes on when you put the money in, when you deferred the money, and now you could convert them into a Roth IRA. The downside is you have to pay the taxes. The upside is a Roth IRA grows tax-free. Why are you even saying this right now, Ed? What does this have to do with, you know, bear market? Well, if you actually convert when things are down, you can convert maybe $10,000 or $11,000 or $12,000 of an investment that actually was worth $15,000 before. You'd have to pay more taxes then. So what we're actually doing is taking certain investments, these structured notes that I mentioned before, we're doing that for some clients right now, where we're taking some of these notes that were valued at $15,000, now valued at $12,000, we're converting them so we have to pay less tax over into the Roth IRA, and assuming again that the market kind of rebounds the way it normally does, these notes are gonna explode and go back up, and we're gonna get all of that growth tax-free. So Roth conversions are really a good thing to try to take advantage of if it's right for your situation.
Good stuff, good stuff. A last and final point number five, is buy the dip, dollar cost average, with cash that you might have on the sidelines still. Now, I'm going to use a caveat. I'm going to explain a little caveat with buying the dip or dollar cost average. Is it the right time to buy when people are scared right now? Well, Well, if you look at history, if you have at least say a 5-year time frame, potentially shorter, we're comfortable saying 5 years or so. If you look at history, the probability of it, the stock market being up during all times during a 5-year span, if you recall from our last podcast, it's about 93%. I like those odds. If I have a 93% chance of making money by just sitting on it for 5 years, I'll take that bet every time. But if you compare that with where we are today compared to the beginning of the year, things look even more attractive. So if you have a longer time frame and you have some cash sitting on the sidelines, again, buying that dip or dollar cost averaging, which is, you know, you have 100 grand, you're going to put 25,000 in now, 25,000 in next month, all the way for 4 months. That helps you smooth out the ride so you're not necessarily trying to time it. Both are great options.
Yeah, I mean, we're not saying we know this is or we're close to the bottom. I mean, we're certainly a lot closer to the bottom than we were in the beginning of the year. But this is a good time. And there, some things could change in the world that we don't know about, and things could get much worse. We don't believe that's the case right now, but it could happen. But it's a much better time to buy now. And so if you have money that you plan to eventually invest, this might be a good time to at least put some of it to work.
Yeah. And I'm going to add in a quick final one. You know, we'll call it point number six. If the news is making you fearful, stop watching it.
Yeah.
The news is in business to create fear. It's how they sell. And you know, when you're fearful, you'll watch tomorrow, see what next bad news is happening. So R-E-L-A-X, Aaron Rodgers used to say that, which, by the way, we're Bears fans. But Aaron Rodgers said R-E-L-A-X, relax. Oh. Relax.
I would say I've been doing this nearly 30 years, and this playbook has worked the whole time. And you know, in those 30 years, it's not easy to go through sometimes. But I actually, now that I've been working with clients for such a long period of time, some of them who used to, you know, see that news and get, you know, really stressed out and it really affect them. As we've kind of been through this a couple few times, some of them even now when we do reviews and get together, they will say to me, I'm not even looking at my accounts. You know, I think I know I have confidence in you. I know that I realize that this is going to play itself out. And so it does work.
Well, terrific. Hopefully you found those checklist items on the playbook helpful. You know, now is a great time to look at all those things. And so please take advantage. Certainly, if you have any questions, reach out to us about what's going on in the world, the facts. But in the meantime, let's conclude on something a little lighter. Ed's food for thought.
All right. I've got a great recipe here today. I'd mentioned in the past that I was running out of my good recipes. So I was really looking forward to our church. About a year ago, our church came out with a cookbook where lots of people put in all their favorite recipes. And one of them is a friend of mine. I made hers. I think it was for Super Bowl, and I haven't brought it up yet. It's called Easy Feta Dip. Super easy. It's an appetizer. I think it might be the first appetizer that I'm using. Really what it is it's this plate that you put out a bunch of olive oil on, feta cheese, green onions, tomatoes. And the key to this is a special kind of seasoning called Cavender's Greek seasoning that you sprinkle all over it. And so I made it. I'd never even like talked to her about it. I just was like, oh, this looks good. I'm going to try it. And I made it and everybody was loving it. And then when I talked to her about it, she dropped me off another can of that so I could make as much as I could. But we're going to put that in there if you want to give it a try. Super easy. You use baguettes. You chop up the baguettes and eat it as an appetizer. It's awesome.
Wonderful. We'll put that recipe up along with a couple of these charts that we've shown you so that you can dig into the numbers a little bit more. Thanks so much for watching.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you next time. Enjoy.
This podcast represents an assessment of the market environment at a specific point in time, should not be relied upon as investment advice, and is not intended to predict or depict performance of any investment. any specific recommendations or comparisons that are made as to particular securities or strategies are for illustrative purposes only and are not meant as investment advice for any viewer.